So I would like to report on a paper I wrote last year with those people and some work in progress with those collaborators where we are studying the collider signature basically of this composite model. So as Nima has already told you yesterday in his colloquium, a strong sector around a few TeV driving electric symmetry breaking is still a possible or most conservative scenario. So I guess by most conservative it probably means the most likely scenario. So still there is a technical challenge dealing with a strongly coupled model is that usually you have problem with electric precision data. And the reason is very simple, is that actually the resonance that unitarize the WW scattering, namely the raw meson in Technicolor, actually generate at three level an effect on the standard model gauge boson self energy. So it will generate some oblique correction. So for instance, there is this famous mixing, kinetic mixing between W3 and B, which is S parameter. And if you estimate this S parameter, usually you get some number for the 1, which is in contradiction with the left measurement. So one way out, actually, one way to evade those electric precision data constraint is actually to consider that there is a light composite X emerging from the strong sector just as a composite object, just as a bound state of the strong sector. So then, the question is really how to generate the mass gap between the light composite Higgs boson and the other resonances of the strong sector. And for that, the only thing that you have to assume is actually that the Higgs appears as a pseudo-ghost on boson of the strong sector. So you have to assume that there is two sectors, a strong sector which is coupled to the standard model degrees of freedom, and the strong sector has some global symmetry. And the dynamics is just breaking this global symmetry to a subgroup in such a way that in this coset G over H, there is a ghost on boson that of just the quantum number of the X boson of the standard model. So the spectrum is really the following. So you have the weak scale, basically, and then you have the mass scale of all those heavy resonances of your strong sector. And the masses of those heavy resonances is just given typically by the strong decay constant times G rho, the typical coupling of this strong sector. And then, of course, around 4 pi times F, you have a cutoff and you need a UV completion of the strong sector. But if you're interested only in the light degrees of freedom, in particular in the X physics and the standard model physics, you can forget about those heavy resonances and just integrate them out and basically describe physics just in terms of effective field theory describing those degrees of freedom. And typically this effective theory will involve two scales, so two parameters that describe this strong sector. So the first parameter is of course the masses of those heavy resonances, and the second one is just the typical coupling of those resonances, and you can trade off this parameter in terms of the strong decay constant, which is the ratio of the mass divided by the coupling. So that's the two parameters that you need to really describe the light degrees of freedom. So the main important question is actually how can we test the composite nature of the X in this kind of model? And that will be a very important question, in particular if the LHC sees the X and nothing else. Because as already said yesterday by Nima, basically that could be an evidence for a string landscape and a fine tuning, etc. But it could also be just an evidence that the X is a composite scalar and not a fundamental scalar. So we really need to figure out how to distinguish between those two possibilities. So of course, there is a model dependent answer to this question. If we can probe directly the strong sector, for instance, by the direct production of those heavy resonances, or the meson resonances, that will be an evidence of the strong sector. But unfortunately, the LHC is not usually not energetic enough to really have a direct access to those to this heavy sector. So we'll need to rely on a model-independent way, which is basically study the properties of the X and the W scattering. And what I would like to claim in the rest of the talk is that indeed there is some signature of the composite X model. So the first one is really the fact that WW scattering will grow with the energy above the mass of the X up to the energy scale of those heavy resonances. And you should also see some anomalous X coupling to the standard model degrees of freedom. And there is another signature, which is actually the double production of the X, which will grow with the energy, just because the X is just equivalent to basically to the longitudinal component of the W. So if this kind of cross-section is growing with the energy, you will have some cross-section also for WW goes to X's that should grow with the energy. So let me now describe this effective theory that should describe the X particle on the standard model degrees of freedom. So of course, as I told you, when you integrate out those heavy resonances, you should generate some higher dimensional operators. And one particular operator that will be important that you will generate is the following one. So it's just a correction to the kinetic term. So it's an operator with two derivatives and four power of the X field. And the claim is that this operator is actually suppressed by the strong decay constant times a factor of order one that will depend on the symmetry of your model. So how can I get this operator? Well, you should just remind that the X is just a Gostone boson, so it's just a pion. And when you expand the pion matrices, the exponential of the pion matrices into the kinetic term, you will generate indeed all those operators with two derivatives and extra power of the X field. So this operator is indeed generated by a scale, is indeed suppressed by a scale that corresponds to the strong decay constant and not the mass scale of those heavy resonances. So what is the effect of this operator? Well, you can go to the unitary gauge and expand the X field around its vacuum expectation value, and then you will see that this operator is indeed just a correction to the kinetic term. And the correction just scale like CH, the coefficient of this operator, times V squared divided by F squared. So V is just 246 GV, and F is a strong decay constant. So this means that this operator just modifies the X propagator. And you can take into account this modification just by rescaling the X field according to this factor. And if you rescale the X field, the only effect of this operator will be actually to modify all the coupling of the X to the standard model degrees of freedom. So for instance, you will modify the coupling of the X to the W and the Z. Yeah, notice that this operator doesn't involve any W or Z, it's just a pure scalar operator. So if you modify the coupling of the X to the W, then you modify the contribution of the X to the W scattering experiment, to the W scattering amplitude. And in particular, there will be this correction that, again, scale like V squared over F squared, and this correction will prevent the full cancellation of the growing term in the scattering amplitude. So this means that this contribution, the contribution of the X will not exactly cancel the gauge boson self interaction to the WW scattering, and you will be left with scattering amplitude that grows with the energy. So there is a reduction compared to the standard model with the X. So in the standard model with the X, the scattering amplitude just goes like E squared divided by V squared. And here, actually, there is a cancellation, and it just goes like E squared divided by F squared. So you have traded basically V to F in the denominator. So if you really want now to restore full unitarity in this model, you really need to rely on those heavy resonances, just like in Technicolor. So the Rho meson, et cetera, will fully unitarize those scattering amplitudes. But still, between the mass of the X and the masses of those heavy resonances, you will be left with scattering amplitude that grows with the energy. So you should be able to see this growth of the scattering amplitude. So you should find some evidence of strong W scattering below the masses of those heavy resonances. So indeed, so you can compute the different amplitude, so the different WW amplitude or the Z amplitude. And there is this kind of relation that I was mentioning. So you can relate this cross-section to the cross-section in the standard model without X. And there is this suppression factor that goes like V squared over S squared to the fourth. So in the 90s, people have studied the possibility to detecting the growth of the W scattering amplitude without in the standard model without X. So you can just use their analysis to translate it in terms of this composite X model. And basically, the conclusion is that LHC will be sensitive to the composite nature of the X for parameter CH times V squared over F squared, which is around 0.5 or 0.7. So if you translate that in terms of the composite scale of the Higgs, this will give you a composite scale of order 7 TeV or so. So that was one example of an higher dimensional operator that characterizes the composite X model. And of course, you want to write the most general effective theory. And basically, to write this effective theory, you have two rules. That the first one is that extra X power in the operator will be suppressed by the strong decay constant, while extra derivative term will be suppressed actually by the mass of those heavy resonances. So if you try now to write a complete basis of dimension 6 operator, for instance, you will find that there are actually four operators that are really sensitive to the strong sector. So four operators that are suppressed by the strong decay constant. So the first one is the one that I was mentioning before, just the correction to the X kinetic term. There is another correction to the X kinetic term, but actually the other one is actually custodial breaking, in the sense that it will actually give a correction to the W mass, to the Z mass. And correction that is not custodially invariant. And there is another operator which is just a correction to the Yukawa coupling. So it's the Yukawa coupling with two extra power of the X field. And finally, there is an operator of dimension 6 that just modifies the X potential. So this one, for instance, can have some interesting consequences on the dynamics of the electric phase transition. And in particular, it's easy to get a first order phase transition even for X mass, which is, let's say, above 200 GeV or so. So that was the operator that are really sensitive to the strong dynamics. And finally, there are other operators that correspond more to form factor in the sense that they are only sensitive to the presence of those heavy resonances. So there are, for instance, those operators that are just contributing to the S to the S parameter, and there are other operators that are further suppressed. For instance, those two operators here will induce a modification or a coupling of the X to the photon and the Z, but this is not possible in any theory that satisfies minimal coupling. I mean, you cannot generate those operators at tree level if your theory satisfies minimal coupling. So this means that they have to be generated at the loop level. That's why there is a loop factor suppressing the scale of these operators. And finally, there are other operators that are actually violating the global symmetry. So to generate those operators, you need a loop factor that involves some coupling that actually breaks the global symmetry. So you need some loop factor that involves basically standard model coupling. So this will be suppressed by a loop factor involving basically Y top, the Yukawa coupling of the top, or the standard model gauge coupling. So what are the electric precision constraints on this kind of effective field theory? So the constraint is, of course, the T parameter. As I say, there is one operator of dimension 6, which is sensitive to the strong sector that is actually generating a T parameter. This is this operator. So of course, you get a very strong constraint on this from this operator, but as it's well known, I mean, you can avoid this constraint just by imposing that your strong sector actually satisfies custodial symmetry, and then the coefficient CT is automatically vanishing, and then you can avoid any constraint from this one. Then the second constraint is associated to the S parameter, and those form factors actually generate S factor at tree level, and the S parameter basically scales like the mass of the W divided by the mass of those heavy resonances. So this is why, basically, by pushing the mass of those heavy resonances to energy high enough, you will avoid constraint or conflict with electric precision data. And typically, if you put the number, this mass scale has to be bigger than 2.5 TeV or so. So there are also some one-loop infrared effects that are generated by those operators. And typically, those effects give you an upper bound on the ratio of V squared divided by F squared. But this, I won't discuss that in more detail. So what about the flavor constraint on this kind of models? So as I say, there is some correction to the Yukawa coupling, so correction that involves two extra power of the X field. So this means that when you expand this kind of operators in the unitary gauge, of course, you will generate a mass term, as usual, but you will also generate an interaction between the X boson on the fermion. And now the problem is that those two coefficients are not proportional to each other anymore just because you have extra power of the X field. So this means that in general, you cannot diagonalize simultaneously those two matrices. And in general, you will get some flavor-changing neutral currents. But of course, in this strongly interacting like X model, the coefficient here in front of all this correction to the Yukawa coupling is flavor universal, so it doesn't depend on the flavor. So this means that, again, you can diagonalize those two matrices simultaneously, and there is no, basically there is a minimal flavor violation structure built in this kind of effective theory. So what about the correction to the X coupling? So you can expand the effective Lagrangian that I was describing before just in the unitary gauge, and you will get all the correction basically of the X field to the standard model degrees of freedom. So in particular, you will get some correction of the X coupling to the fermion, and the correction are just controlled by the modification of the kinetic term of the X, and also by the correction of the Yukawa coupling. And there is correction to the W coupling, to the coupling to the W, and those corrections are just controlled by the modification of the X kinetic term. So those corrections will of course affect the decay width of the X into fermion or into gauge boson, for instance, to glu-glu. So can we, and are we sensitive to this deviation of the coupling? So this is typically the kind of correction that you will get in this strongly interacting light X model. So for a ratio of V squared over F squared, which is 1/2, typically you will get some correction that will be of order 40% or so. And this is typically the sensitivity that you will get at LHE with a very high luminosity, like a 300 inverse femtobarn. So this means that basically by measuring those X coupling with enough accuracy at LHE, you will be able basically to probe the composite nature of the X for coefficient V squared of F squared of order 20 or 40%. So this means that you will probe the composite scale of the X from 5 to 7 TeV. And of course, at the linear collider, you will get a sensitivity which is much better. You will bring this sensitivity down to a few percent. This means that you will be really probing the composite nature of the X up to 30 TeV or so. So that, I mean, you can use basically this effective description for small ratio of V squared over F squared. But now if you want to extend this effective theory to very large ratio, basically you need a complete model, a complete UV model. And this is, for instance, the case in this five-dimensional minimal composite X model that Kostub and company have constructed recently. And in this case, you can basically compute explicitly all the correction to the coupling of the X field. And it's just, and you can extend basically the result that I was describing to very large value of V squared over F squared. And this is typically the correction that you will get for the branching ratio. So it depends a little bit how you are embedding the fermion into the picture. But this is typically the correction that you will get for the X branching ratio. So for very light X mass, like 120 GeV, the interesting thing is that actually you can really open the channel of X goes to WW even for a light X. I mean, if V squared of F squared is around square root of 1/2. In this case, the channel which is dominating is really this WW channel, and the BB channel is just depleted. For very high value of the X mass, actually, this branching ratio are almost untouched, except for very large value of V squared over F squared. So that was, well, in principle, S is only sensitive in principle to the mass scale of those heavy resonances. So there is an extra parameter which is the coupling of those heavier resonances. The mass is just 0 times F. And this is only S is only constraining this particular combination, 0 times F. So F can be, in principle, can be as low as you want. Now, I mean, constructing a model that gives that exactly is not that easy, but it's still a model-dependent issue. But in principle, you can. Yeah.
kind of feedback of the effect we get from the noise of the speed of the particle.
Okay. I mean, basically, zero should be bigger than one and should be smaller than 4 pi, just to maintain calculability on your theory. So I agree, it cannot be too low, but I think one is still okay. That's what I remember. I mean, then 4 pi is 12, so yeah, I think it's okay. So where I am now? Conclusion is a little bit too fast. Okay, so the next thing that I want to discuss is really this strong X production. So as I said before, there is an exact symmetry, an exact O4 symmetry between the longitudinal component of the W and the Z and the physical X degrees of freedom. So if you get some WW scattering amplitude that grows with the energy, you should also get some WW goes to XX amplitude that should grow with the squared of the energy. And this is indeed what you will get in this kind of model. So you can compute those kind of amplitude, and indeed they will grow like the S parameter, the S factor, the squared of the energy. So the question is really whether we can probe this kind of interaction at the LHC. So one possible channel is actually when the X decays into two bottom quarks. But this is actually not a very promising channel. I mean, we have tried to get some numbers, and it's not very promising. The most promising channel is actually when the X decays into two Ws. So you can, for instance, imagine that this channel is important for X mass, which is above the threshold, I mean, above 160 GeV. Or if the X is low and if V squared of F squared is such that the branching ratio actually favors this decay channel. So now for the remaining time, I would like to discuss in a little bit more detail this collider signature of this kind of channel. So you will have this interaction, so WW goes to XX, and then the X decays into W, and the W will decay semi-leptonically, so preferentially into 3 lepton and 2 jet. So of course, you need to put some cut in order to be able to see those jets and those leptons. So of course, the PT of those jets has to be something bigger than around 30 GeV, and the jets have to be well separated in order to really distinguish those jets, and they have to be into the solid angle that the detector can see. So delta eta has to be smaller than 5. For the lepton, the PT has to be bigger than 20 GeV. Again, they have to be separated well enough, 0.2, and they have also to be separated from the jet, and the rapidity has to be smaller than 0.4. So now if you generate those kind of events, for instance, we have used MatGraph, and depending on the value of V squared of F squared, this is typically the number of events that you will get with a very high luminosity. So again, it's a very difficult channel that you won't be able to test immediately at the LHC, but with few years of running, you will start seeing those events typically. So for V squared of F squared of order 1, typically you can expect 14 or 15 events with 4 jets. And some of the time, you are actually losing one of the jets just because it's too soft, and you are left with only 3 jets, and this is about 20 events. So this is typically the number of jets that you will get. So if you don't impose any cut on the PT, usually you will get 4 jets, like in this diagram here. But quite often, actually, one of the jets, and actually it's, most of the time is one of the jets coming from the W, is actually too soft to be detected by ATLAS or CMS. So in this case, you are left only with 3 jets. So what are the background for this kind of channel? Of course, there is a huge QCD background, and this is the 4 most important background. And you can see that usually you get far more event in the background than on the signal. So you need to really impose some cut to get rid of this background and extract the signal. So what is the strategy for extracting the signal from the background? So what you have to do is actually try to identify the external jet, and usually the external jet actually just correspond to the most forward jet, the most of the 4 jet. So you can identify one of these external jets, and the other one actually will correspond to the one to the pair with the largest invariant mass. So you construct all, so you identify the most forward jet, and then you construct all the pairs of jets, and you extract just the one with the with the largest invariant mass, and that will correspond most of the time to the two external jets. So you can now start imposing some cuts. So you will impose that the most forward jet is bigger. I mean, the rapidity is bigger than 0.8, that the invariant mass is bigger than 330 GeV, and the delta eta is bigger than 3. So the next step is really to reconstruct the hadronic W. So now you know the two jets here that are coming from the W because you have been able to identify the two external jets. So the remaining two jets actually correspond to the hadronic W. And the next thing is actually to identify, to find the two, the pairs of L plus L minus, which is coming with the same X. And for that, what you have to do is actually just to look at the angle between the two leptons. So if the X is very boosted, of course, the angle between L plus and L minus should be small. And for instance, on the contrary, if the X is at rest, typically there is ellipticity conservation, which will tell you also that the L plus L minus should be collinear. So this is why, in general, L plus and L minus just correspond to the pair with the smallest angle. And then finally, so you are left with a single lepton that you can attach to those hadronic jets. The jet that is coming from the W, and then you can cut on this invariant mass of the triplet of the lepton and the two jets. So finally, after this analysis, this is how much event you are left with. So in the signal, you are left typically with up to seven events in the signal, and you have really cut down all the background. You are left with one event in the background. So this means that the significance for this kind of process can reach a 4 sigma level for C equal 1, for V squared over S squared is equal 1. And if you really want to reach the 5 sigma level, you need a luminosity around 450 inverse femtobar. So this is for V squared over S squared is equal to 1. For V squared over F squared equal 0.5, typically, so the significance really drops down to 1.3. And you need basically the super LHC to really be able to probe this kind of model. Now here there is no square, so it's V over F, sorry. So I think it's time to conclude. So probably electroweak interaction need a UV moderator, new physics to unitarize WW scattering amplitude. So far, in particular at LEP, the oblique correction has provided a guide to the scale of new physics, but we really need new observables to distinguish, to tell about the nature of this electroweak symmetry breaking sector, and really to tell whether it's strongly coupled or weakly coupled. And for that, such observables are WW scattering, or the strong double X production, or the X anomalous coupling. So if the LHC sees X and nothing else, it will be a challenging time for actually identifying the true nature of the X and to tell whether it's a composite or elementary. But this is something which is worth doing because at the end, we will learn whether the nature is fine-tuned or not. So probably the LHC is a good machine for doing that. But if you have a very precise machine like the linear collider, you can also get some interesting signal of the composite nature of the X. So thank you very much.
So time for questions, comments.
Can you say again what you had to assume in order to get minimal flavor violation in these approaches?
The violation of what?
Minimal flavor violation.
Oh. Just,
I mean, you had some CRJs that
yes,
you said diagonalized.
That's
but
right.
Was that an assumption that you...
No, it's just because here, typically... He wants to start again. I mean, it's just because basically the operator, this dimension 6 operator that I've written, And for the coefficient of the operator that modifies the Yukawa interaction, it's just universal. It's just a universal factor, just because it's coming from the expansion of the pion matrices. So it's just a universal factor times the Yukawa coupling of the that appears in the standard model.
Say.
So that's why basically at the end of the day it's a minimal flavor violation, because all flavor violations are coming from the Yukawa interaction of the standard model.
Okay.
Can you say something about the cuts that you proposed in the assumptions you made? You were looking at jets that were PT of 30.
30 GV, yeah.
But you're also running you have to run at the highest luminosity.
Yes, right.
So if you have to push that 30 up to 50 to get control of those jets, do you lose the signal completely?
Well, the problem is that in this case you will lose, most of the time actually the fourth jet is rather soft, so you won't end up with a four jet event, but most likely with three or two jet. And then your difficulty to reconstruct because you have two jets that should reconstruct one W, but of course if you are losing one of the jets, I mean, you cannot reconstruct the W, so you will lose significance in this case.
So you say in the case that you cannot reconstruct that, so let me turn the question around, if you cannot reconstruct that W,
yes,
then everything falls apart, or is there still
it's
some...
It's more difficult to perform the analysis, that's it, I mean, you will lose significance.
Can you quantify that in some, or is it... What? How, what can you quantify that? What fraction of the signal is he going to lose? Is it an essential part of the
result? It's not essential. I mean, you will get less events. I mean, Armand probably by 40% or things like that. So you will reduce the significance, but already the significance is not very high. So of course, I mean, if you are losing things, it's bad. But, this means that probably the LHC, I mean, it will be difficult and we need really to increase the luminosity weight for the super LHC.
All right. In your talk, you formulated this effective Lagrangian effective theory for this composite Higgs boson. Yeah. But isn't that true that even if you look at the elementary Higgs boson, suppose the elementary scalar, but if you look at the effective Lagrangian at Weak scale, you can also write down some dimension six operators.
True.
So how do you distinguish that? Is there any terms then you would say this is a term that can only come from strongly intact things?
Well, it's just that in the case of a composite X, you have really a hierarchy of scale between the different operators. I mean, there is a distinction between those operators that are really sensitive to the strong sector and those operators that are just form factor. And for instance, you know this H dagger H time, for instance, B mu nu squared. So this correction, for instance, of X goes to two photons. In this case, it's really reduced because of the structure of those composite X models. While in general, in general, new physics models, this is not the case. I mean, so there is really a distinction between those composite X models and generic model of new physics.
Now, it is true that, like the example you showed there, supposedly Higgs boson is originally found as a pseudo Gaussian boson, then that is really true. But is that really true that all the composite Higgs model, that the Higgs bosons behave like a pseudo Gaussian boson?
I mean, I guess if you really want to avoid electric precision data, you really need to generate a mass gap between the Higgs and the other resonances. And I don't know, the only way that I know of is really, seeing the Higgs as a pseudo Gaussian boson. Doesn't mean that it's the only way, but the only way that I know.
Thank you.
More questions or comments?
Wait. Something went by very fast that I missed. Please excuse me. You said that it was possible to test the compositeness of the Higgs up to 30 TeV?
At the linear collider, yeah, just because you are measuring the Higgs anomalous coupling to a few percent.
Ah, okay. So you actually, but for that you have to do the Higgs anomalous coupling measurement.
Right.
So that's multiple inverse Adobarns at a linear collider.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
More questions or comments? I have one, actually. Following what Chava asked you before, This has been a bottom-top approach, just writing a general effective theory. Do you have any clue on EV, potentially EV completions to this particular case where you pass all your electrolytic constraints?
I mean, if one model that we know of is a model by Kostov, Contino, and Pomerol. It's just this five dimension.
That's a minimal favor violation.
I think the flavor violation is really coming in this case from the third generation, because the third generation is composite. Here, of course, I mean, what I assume is just that all the quarks on the lepton are elementary. You can get from all the bound if you assume that, for instance, the top is composite too. But if you assume that all the quarks on the lepton are elementary in this case, there is minimal flavor violation built in.
But that's not continuum model.
Continuum, that's true, because you have to put some in the top close to the TV brain, and then it's composite. That's right.
Well, if there are no further questions, let's thank Christoph again.